that. They understand what's going on. And so that's really a difference in the thinking of the younger people, who give me great hope that they're going to be able to change this country and make it better as they learn and they travel on and get things going for them. He left France in 1923, and that's when he went to China. Russia, and he studied at the Communist University of the Toilers of the East, and participated in the Fifth Comintern Congress in June 1924 before arriving at Canton in China, where he was arrested and where he met his wife. They say that Ho didn't have any children, but he did have children. He was very, very sick when he was in China, and he almost died, and he didn't get to, when he came back to in 1941, Ho Chi Minh returned to Vietnam to lead the Viet Minh in the independence movement. He came from China because he's being chased by the government in China, and he left his wife in China and came back into Vietnam. And at that time, they were still being controlled by the French. And he came back and he started to help lead the Viet Minh independence movement. He helped fight the Japanese, because the Japanese had taken over Vietnam during the Second World War, but they let the French run it. They let the French run it. And he helped fight against the Japanese and the French, basically, and after World War II, when the Japanese were defeated, and the and taken out of Vietnam, and the only people that the United States would listen to, the Chinese, that they wouldn't listen to Chairman Mao or any of those, they listened to Chiang Kai-shek, who was kicked out, was driven out of China by the forces of Mao Zedong and his forces, and they were chased into Taiwan. And during the war, during the Second World War, the OSS, which later became the CIA, went to Ho, and he was really, really sick, and they helped him with medicines, and they got him going again and being stronger, and he helped find downed American pilots. That's what they wanted him for, and he did help them to find pilots. And when the war was over, the OSS said that Vietnam should be given their independence, but the powers that be in D.C. decided that the French, who had been pretty much beat up pretty bad during World War II, needed their old colonies to get them back into shape and to make them strong enough to resist the communist movements coming out of China and coming out of Russia. And so that's what he did. And you know, the meaning of Ho Chi Minh is bright light, shining light, or in those words. So, and all those people that were fighting against the French and also fighting against the Chinese had to change their names a lot, so that they, you know, they were being chased all over the place, and a lot of them were killed, a lot of them were imprisoned, a lot of the women you know, murdered just along with the men, and the women were fighting along with the men. And one of the greatest escapes from the French during the French occupation, they had this huge prison in downtown Hanoi, and it was the same prison that they later used to hold American prisoners in. And there was a big escape, and they couldn't figure out how they got out of this prison. And what they had done is that they had figured out they could go through the sewer line. They could go through the sewer lines and get out and meet their comrades and be taken to the mountains. And so this is what happened. If you go to, there's only part of that prison left now. It's been, most of it's been torn down and a big high rise is put in it, but there's still a lot of the prison, not a lot of the prison, but some of the prison. And you can see where the sewer line was and how they fixed it so nobody else could get out through there. And it's really an interesting, really interesting story to listen to that. The Ho Chi Minh started out with just a handful of men and women fighters. And one of the main people that helped him was a school teacher by the name of Zapp. And General Zapp became the leading military leader of the Viet Minh fight against the French. And he and Ho and General Ku, who I know, General Ku, they made all the planning for the Battle of Binh Dinh Phu, which got rid of, beat the French, and finally got the French out of their country. But Ho had to make a decision on, and he decided that he would okay the division of Vietnam in half. But there had to be a nationwide election within 2 years, I believe. And they knew that Ho would win that election. So the Americans and the puppet government that the Americans had put in place decided not to have the election. And that's what really started the second Indochinese War, and where the Americans really got involved in it. The United States was paying most of the money for the French army to fight. But if you look at these guys, they got most of their training. They had General Zapp had. They took General Zapp and took him to China, where he learned tactics, and he also went to Russia, where he learned tactics before going back to Vietnam. And they started out as a small group of local peasants up in the northern part of Vietnam. And like I said, you know, I'm not even partially through all the information I have on Ho that I think is really interesting that people, you know, don't know about. And how we got involved in the war in Vietnam. And they had one saying, Ho had a saying that nothing's more precious than freedom. And that's all, it was all over the country, that saying was all over the country. And his poems, I wish I had time to read some of his poems. They're just really beautiful poems. I have these books of his point, and they're one of the books that, if you ever get a chance, are his prison writings that he wrote while he was in prison in China. And so that is, you know, maybe some other time that we'll have time to go through some more about Bac Ho, Uncle Ho. When Uncle Ho died, most of the Eastern Bloc countries went to his funeral, but not one from any Western country went to that to his funeral. And like I said before, he wanted to be cremated, and he wanted his ashes to be distributed in the north, in the middle, and in the south of Vietnam after the reunification. But that didn't happen. They embalmed him, and he's on display in Hanoi. But Sonia?
Yeah.
Sonia?
What's up?
Could you play that second song about the ballad of the unknown soldier, and I'll go ahead and finish out here right now?
Well, I don't normally take requests, but for you, you got it.
Thanks. We'll be back on November 20th at 9 a.m., and there it is. And thanks, all my friends. And I'll be back next month. Bye.
To a story I will tell of a young G.I. you will remember well. He died in Vietnam on the Mekong Delta land. He had sandals on his feet and a rifle in his hand. I wonder what was his name. I wonder from which town he came. I wonder if his children understand the reason why, or the way he had to fight and the way he had to die. Well, they say that in December 65 was the last time he was ever seen alive. U.S. Army lies that caused him to decide to leave his old top sergeant and fight on the other side. Well, I wonder what was his name. I wonder from which town he came. I wonder if his children understand the reason why, of the way he had to fight and the way he had to die. Was he lonesome for his homeland far away, fighting with his new companions night and day? In the base and jungle camps they tell about a man sharing hardships with his comrades fighting on the other side. Well, I wonder what was his name. I wonder from which town he came. And I wonder if his children understand the reason why, of the way he had to fight and the way he had.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Thank you. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Hey, KBOO supporters. Tomorrow is another big give day for Willamette Week's Give Guide, so get ready. When you donate $50 or more to KBOO or any of the 174 other participating organizations on Give Guide, you'll be rewarded with a thank you from A to Z Wineworks.